This is Shooting Spaces with Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Hello and welcome to Shooting Spaces. This is Brian Berkowitz from New York.
And Rich from beautiful Sacramento, California.
I would have thought you were from Hawaii with that music you're playing back there.
I feel like I'm in Hawaii right now. It's just magic. It's just magic with being back in the United States and Hawaii and everything. So no, it's all good. It's all good.
What's in his mug?
What's in my mug?
What's in his mug? I want to know what's in his mug.
Michael Bublé water.
Yeah. Oh.
What's going on, guys? What's going on?
We might as well, Vince chimed in, so we might as well introduce our special guest for today and get right into it. So let's introduce Vince Calora, who I think everybody must know at this point. If you don't, I don't know why, but Vince is the CEO. Is that correct with your title, CEO?
No, COO.
COO, okay. Sorry, I don't want to...
It's all good.
Step on anyone's toes. COO of VHT, formerly of Gotham Studio, who was a competitor of mine back in the day when I used to shoot real estate all the time. Vince, welcome. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Yeah, sorry I chimed in early. I'm a bit feral. Like, I don't know the rules of engagement with these things, right? Because we're all Zooming so much constantly, right? That it's totally casual.
Yeah, so no rules.
It's kind of crazy. Like, you just don't... Like, Rich is playing guitar and cursing out his clients.
But I
had like serious faces on for a moment.
I'm wearing pants though. So, you know, I'm not totally doing the Zoom thing. What do you got under there,
Bolt, Vince? Berko and I thought he was going to flash us for a moment. Like, I saw your face, Brian. As
I'll
Rich
do it. It'll get people to actually watch us on YouTube. So if you don't watch us on YouTube, you miss all the good stuff.
Then I have to check the box that says this content is not for kids.
This content is not for kids. Speaking of which, are we a family-friendly show or like?
I mean, you can say something if you want.
Yeah, we never swear, but every once in a while. Shit. Okay. How's that? Is that good?
Thanks. You broke the ice for us.
You broke the ice. Yeah.
Exactly. At least that wasn't as bad as what you sent to your client earlier.
Oh, I don't want to go there.
That's right.
Anyhow, so we're gonna have a fun night tonight. The reason we brought you on, Vince, is because I had an interesting conversation with a buddy of mine, Steve Magner. I don't know if you guys know him. He's out of San Francisco area, so he's pretty close to your area. He's a real estate photographer as well as architectural photographer, design photographer, doing some incredible, incredible work. So if Rich is sporting the new mug, we got our new Shooting Spaces mugs. And the best part about it is nobody knows what's inside because it's...
Oh, it could be vodka though. So
it's not vodka.
It's water, but it's clear, you know.
We want to thank our friends over at HD Photo Hub for sponsoring this episode. HD Photo Hub is a real estate photographer's business platform for payment collection, online ordering, scheduling, photo delivery, property websites, and more. With tons of new features, if you haven't seen them lately, take a look today at hdphotohub.com. That's hdphotohub.com.
So I was talking to Steve Magner, and if you don't follow him, you should go check out his work. Really good stuff. And he asked me mid-conversation what I thought was the future of real estate photography. And he gave me a couple of reasons why he thought what he thought, and we'll get into it a little bit later. And then once he asked me, I said, you know what, that's going to be a great topic for an episode, and who better to have for a discussion than our buddy Vince, who always has something to say about everything. And according to Jordan Powers, who I was talking to last night, when you ride your bicycle, you look like you're from the future. So why not have you on to talk about that? So before we get into the conversation, just give people who don't know you, I mean, I'm sure people know you from the different groups or, you know, being the moderator of PFRE for the last 2 years for the panels, but give your quick, you know, 2 minute Vince elevator pitch about your life.
Sure. So, I mean, first off, I just want to say, Jordan is the best intro ever. Like, next year at PFRE, I just want him to introduce me because he has said something about me being from the future on like multiple accounts now, multiple times. So Rich is giving me the countdown. Okay, cool. So I've got 2 minutes and 42 seconds left. So as Brian said, COO of VHT Studios, been in the business for like 18 years. I started Gotham Photo Company way back in the day after I kind of stumbled into real estate photography. I had a .com builder, a company called Team 5 that I was running, and we were doing a ton of real estate websites. And I remembered it was like 2004 or something when I pointed out, I was like, all these websites we're designing, right? We're designing things for like 300 by 400 images, and people have cable modems now, so we should change that. So I pitched to the big brands in Manhattan, let's make the media bigger. And they all said, yeah, that's a great idea. I said, okay, great. Give me your photo repository. And it was like dead on the line. They're like, photo repository. We'll tell you what photographers to email. And that was kind of how my entrance into the business happened. I started Gotham, it was originally another company name, with the intention of building a platform because nobody had a sense of where their photography was. And my bright idea, which, you know, you always go through a couple of bad ideas before you land on the right one, was that real estate photographers and the brokerage firms would pay my company to host their media. And nobody wanted to do that at all. So, you know, kind of in looking at the business and reevaluated it, I decided, you know what, let's take a crack at the service business. Hired some amazing photographers that told me pretty much everything that we were doing in the beginning was wrong, but I listened, right? And, you know, kind of went into it with a photography first mindset, as opposed to most competitors that you look at, most of the big brands, they kind of go into it, you know, sort of business first, right? Like, okay, cool. How do we do this, you know, as fast as possible or as cheap as possible, whatever it is. We engineered Gotham's product offering based on the advice of some really great photographers. So that's really it, right? Like, I was fortunate because I got my start in Manhattan, and the agents in Manhattan definitely had a higher bar, higher expectation, and appreciated good photography. I feel like if I started my photography firm in like Wichita or something, you know, back in 2004, when agents are at best shooting their own stuff, it would have taken a different path. But that's it, right? Like, ran Gotham for a while, killed it in Manhattan. You know, we were definitely the dominant player, and then eventually arranged for the sale of my business to VHT Studios. And that's where I am today. I think that kind of covers it, right?
Yeah, that covers it. I think so. So the reason I thought this would be good to have you on, Vince, is because we all come from different places. Not necessarily come, but we're all at different places in our career and in our association to the real estate photography world right now today. And we have a, you know, between the three of us, there's a nice mix. You know, Rich, you're pretty much shooting primarily all real estate photography all the time in a more boutique environment. I'm doing mostly, at this point in my career, doing mostly commercial real estate. Very little residential. And Vince, you manage, I think, what do you have, over 1,000 photographers, right?
It's just under.
Just under. So let's round it up for ease, you know, around 1,000 photographers. So we all come from different places in the industry. And let me pull up Steve's text and kind of give you the quick summary of it. And he basically said, what's the future of real estate? The fact that anybody can afford a new iPhone now and have the ability to shoot good quality, relatively wide. What's the future of real estate photography in that regard? He also brought up to me the fact that 360 cameras, like, you know, the Zeta, the Z1, the Ricoh Theta Z1, or even the newer Matterport cameras, the quality is getting so good. With Matterport, for instance, you can, you know, export images right from the Matterport tour and stuff like that. So he said, with all these factors thrown in, is the art of real estate photography dying because it's so much easier for agents to get quality work for next to nothing, or even with equipment they might have at home or equipment that you can get for under $1,000? So,
sure. It's a good question, right? And like, okay, so you two guys have been around long enough, right? You see this on the real estate boards. Every time the next Apple iPhone is announced, what happens? It's Chicken Little time. The sky's falling, right? Like, holy shit. And, you know, I would say that you're not wrong to think it affects the industry, right? But what I would say is, you know, that fear, while it's valid, because what I think starts to happen is you have more agents dabbling in do-it-yourself, right? I fully expect that they end up coming back into the fold. If they're agents who need to stand out, if they're agents who need to match the level or beat the level in their market. Here's the thing, the iPhone puts out great photographs, right? And you could do a 3-bracket blended HDR with an app. And then there's you know, what's that silly app name? I'm not gonna name the app, but there's a wire slide or something, right? Some app that's gonna send your images to editors who are gonna post-produce it. Yes, the technology's there, and the sensor in this thing, I'm holding up my phone, is almost as good, if not better, than the sensor in the cameras that we were using years ago, right? Those are all true statements.
Well, on top of that, there's even more so. Sorry for interrupting you.
Yeah.
There's a real estate, she doesn't shoot real estate, but there's a photographer who, I guess, dabbles in real estate in my area who about 6 to 8 months ago posted on her Instagram, come, if you're an agent, take the photos with the iPhone, send them to me and I'll edit them for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I messaged her right away. I said, what are you doing? I said, this is what you do for a living. And we got into a whole conversation about it. And I think she ended up deleting the post, but nevertheless, which was my goal, I guess, in emailing her, was to try to get it to take her down. But
yeah, fight the good fight. I mean, so I want to separate out, though, you know, kind of three pieces of the answer to that question, right? I want to separate out the 360 3D stuff, right? We're going to put it over here for a minute, right? And then I'm also going to say far future, I have ideas that are counter to what I'm about to say, right? I'm talking 10 years down the line. But, you know, for the next bunch of years, if you're worried about the technology that everybody has having, you know, in their pocket, right? Access to, it's cheap, et cetera, taking your work, you're missing where our value is as photographers, right? Our value isn't what we can, you know, the sensor that we can afford, right? 10 years ago, 15 years ago, yeah, you stood out if you had a DSLR camera, right? Like, or you were the guy in the area with the best camera. But what makes a good photographer is, you know, I use the term compositional prowess, right? It's that vision. It's being able to frame it up. You know, I can take this phone and produce far better images than Joe down the street, right? A non-photographer with the best equipment, right? Like that is a truth. And every one of, you know, everybody listening on this, right? Professional photographers, think about it real hard, right? When you're looking at the Instagrams, the social feeds of the people you service or your friends and family who are not photographers, are they blowing your mind? Have they suddenly caught up because the iPhone has a better sensor? No. So I think the fear, I get it because it's really tempting, right? But ultimately, having a great device doesn't make one a great photographer. So I don't worry about it in the same way. And I'm not going to blame you for having that thought, Steve, right? Because for the first bunch of years in business, I definitely shared that with you, right? I remembered seeing the first or second iPhone come out and say, oh guys, I don't know, the resolution's kind of up there. We might need to close up shop here in Gotham, but I don't worry about it. What do you guys think?
Well, I think there's also something even bigger. And maybe this is because I work in the residential real estate market, mostly on the luxury side. But I know from all my clients, they would rather pay me probably one of the highest guys price-wise on Long Island, they'd rather pay me my higher rates to not have to think about it. You know, they're paying for not only the photography, but the convenience of them not having to think about it. You know, they can go back and do what they do, which is selling homes, and know that the next day after they schedule my shoot, they'll have photos ready to go and they can continue marketing their home. So I sort of believe that any agent that has the time to go in and do the photos themselves is ultimately not an agent you would want to work with as a photographer.
Damn it, you took all of my fire. I was going to say the exact same thing, Brian.
Great we minds
know each
think
other.
Alike.
We know each other too long.
Unbelievable. But no, I agree 150%. My agents don't have the time to take their own pictures. You know,
Good agent doesn't. Just like you guys don't have the time to try to sell your house yourself.
Well, no, I wouldn't do it because, like, I wouldn't move. I would never move again without a professional mover. I don't know how to sell a house properly. In my opinion, I could learn, but I don't think I would. It would be a very good venture. But I just think that the agents I work for, they really have latched on to. They got a photographer. They got an inspector, they've got a stager, they've got their team, and then they don't have to worry about it. I know that my agents would really not, they can't think about not having that part of it. And I do think they put me up there, maybe above the inspector, but you know, but I feel really good that, no, it won't go away. It will not. It is just not something that, at least the level I'm dealing with, is the my clients are not going to or even clients that might do their photography, or some of them actually do their own photography for some listings, and, you know, if it's a really, really crappy house or something like that, but they're not going to be doing their own pictures, you know, and they don't think it's really even a matter of an iPhone. Just think it doesn't matter. They're not going to do it.
Yeah, it's a weird argument, and I get the emotional reaction, right? Because, you know, most people in the business are old enough to have been around before we all carried great cameras in our pocket. But, you know, I'll say the one thing about this is there is a danger, right? There's the danger of the self-fulfilling prophecy. So if you think about, like, the reaction, right? Let's just say the entire industry is us three, right? Sitting here, we're a microcosm of the industry. If we sort of think about it and sort of accept that notion that, oh, geez, the agents now have what we have, they're not going to need us anymore. You start to have the reaction, you start to lower rates, right? I've got to compete with the agent who's going to do it themselves. You can't lower your rate enough for that shit, right? And, you know, the other kind of piece to it is just where you put your own value as a photographer. Right. Like, I've seen, you know, I love memes that are, like, really wise, right? There's this one meme that, you know, we've all seen on the real estate boards and we've all probably reposted that says, look, when you hire me, you're not paying for the 30 minutes of my time. You're paying for the 30 years of experience that I come with that allows me to capture your home in 30 minutes of time. Right. So now, you know, Brian, when I hire you to shoot this wonderful house that I'm sitting in, right? Am I paying you because you have whatever camera you have? Am I just renting a camera and you're the meat sack that's carrying it? No.
Right. And no agent ever even asked me that when a new client, when they call me, what camera do you use? It's never a question that's ever come up. iGUIDE is a turnkey solution for those looking to expand their real estate photography business beyond photography to add 3D tours, laser accurate room measurements, square footage calculations, and professionally drafted floor plans. Get your first 5 iGUIDEs free by adding code SHOOTINGSPACES in the referrals section at purchase. Visit goiguide.com to learn more.
I want to touch on, though, the 3D 360 portion of that.
Yeah, because
no, let's stay on meat sack. I like that.
on Brian's meat sack.
Yeah. Brian is a meat sack, and you've got a cool camera too. You know,
I try to be as offensive as possible with every discussion. So, Rich, I'm still working on
the best podcast we've ever done, guys. That's it.
Vince, we're going to have you on every week.
Actually, you could take over for me.
So the photography element, right? Like, okay, if you've taken Tony Colangelo courses or any of those, right? Like, we all put a lot of work into the framing, into the composition. And, you know, oddly, I was just doing another podcast where I was talking about the sort of connection between photography and the special effects stuff that I do, right? And ultimately, what we are directors of attention. We capture light and we create an image, or we capture an image directing attention in a certain way to a certain thing, right? And that's where the art comes in. And that's why we make good money, right? Again, it's we don't make good money because we spent $5,000 a year ago on some equipment. The side piece to that is, or the sort of next, item to touch on is the, what I'm going to call commoditizable elements of what we do, right? So in my business with VHD Studios, we offer 3D tours, we offer floor plans. We used to offer 360s, right? Those are important services in that they're very useful, but they're completely technical. Berko, Rich, me, we could have a Matterport face-off, right? And all create Matterports. And there is almost no chance that unless one of us messes up, one is better than the other. Brian, you can't produce a better Matterport scan than I can. Correct. And Rich, I can't do a better one than you. So, you know, sort of the value-added services that are completely technical, I think that what you start to see is those commoditize really quickly. And they really get relegated to add-on services, right? Or value-add services. Nobody says, I'm in love with Rich Baum's floor plans. But Rich Baum might offer floor plans because somebody's in love with his photography and doesn't want to deal with bringing another provider in. I will say, you know, that piece of the industry certainly has some risk to it. It's a completely technical service. Matterport released their iPhone app, which, you know, their iPhone capture tool, which is okay. Theta's got tools to do 360s. Again, it's all okay. And, you know, Box Brownie or whatever the companies are, they'll stitch them together for you for an agent super cheap. So if you're hanging your hat on that, right, and you're not treating it like a value add, I'd say that's a risk. Where are you guys at with that stuff?
Well, I mean, I sort of agree with you, and I say this to people often, and that's part of the reason why I personally don't like Matterport, despite the fact that I made a lot of money with it last year in the commercial real estate world. It's I don't like offering services because I'm more of a boutique studio and I'm selling myself as the photographer. I don't like things like, as you said, that quote unquote don't require skill. And, you know, when we're doing a Matterport, we're basically just a button pusher.
Absolutely.
The saying, it's been said a million times, you know, a monkey can do it. And obviously that's not literally the case, but, you know, the guy who was doing Matterport for me for commercial real estate was an 18-year-old kid, you know, with no experience in this industry at all, who I taught how to use a Matterport camera and the app, and he goes out and he does them for me. So the fact that, you know, we've been in this industry, we've all been in the industry for a different amount of time, but we're all here for at least 10 years or so, plus a little less for me, but nevertheless, when we're shooting photography, we've got that experience and that skill that comes with our work. When we're offering floor plans, 3D tours with Matterport, 360s, there's no skill involved. You know, Rich, I know with 360s, you know, it took you a couple of days to get the hang of it, and that's it. You got it. You know, and once you figured it out, you figured it out. And there was nothing you were going to do as time goes on that's going to make you a better 360 photographer. You know, once you learn the technical side of it, there's nothing you're going to do that's going to make you better or make one job look better than the other. Versus as a photographer, you know, you learn new lighting techniques, you learn new editing techniques, you learn new composition, and what you're offering just gets better and better and better the more you shoot.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that it is pretty much, that's always been said about Matterport. It's pretty much clients I would have that used Matterport, they usually, like I shot for Redfin for a while, and they do Matterport on every listing, and they have just somebody from the office come out and do it. And yeah, that's just, it's really not much to it creativity-wise. But I will say also, it's not so much the camera, Vince, is like I use the Sony a6400 most of the time with the little Samyang lens. I still use that. Last year I used it more, way more than my a7 III. And it's just, you know, what you can do with with the camera. And I think that if we had a challenge between all three of us, I think we could probably do fairly decent real estate shots. And you know what? Maybe I'll shoot a house and I'll do iPhone pictures too, and see how that comes out.
Yeah, but I mean, I would venture to guess. In fact, I'm going to say call to action for Shooting Spaces listeners, right? I would love to see the best real estate photograph that you guys can create from your iPhone. No editing or no editing outside of putting, you know, editing on your iPhone in Lightroom or whatever, right? Just to remind you, right, as photographers, where the skill is. Yeah. You can do it.
But I only have an 8+, so I
that's
can't
fine though. I've seen your 12. You might be able 12. To outshoot me. I have a high degree of confidence in that. Speaking of having fun, real quick question to you guys. What is your viewership like? How many people are subscribed to the podcast?
I don't know the actual subscription numbers. We know our audience weekly though.
Okay. All right. Well, the reason, like, I know you've got a lot of people, right? Everybody in the industry that I speak to knows of the podcast.
I mean, we're doing a couple thousand listens a week. So
okay. So edit this out if I'm breaking a rule. However, I'm going to put each of the three of us, we're going to put $1,000 in each, right? And I think we're going to have fun. So I'm a fan of Matterport because, again, utility, and they put together a good technology. However, Brian, you said it's not so easy that a monkey can do it. So just by
a meatbag can do it though.
Right. A meatbag can do it. But no, I want to prove Brian wrong. Right. And Brian, I'm asking for you and Rich to put up a couple of bucks to help me prove you wrong. Here's the deal.
You've got
thousands of listeners. I'm guaranteeing you that somebody on your list has a hookup with a trainer who works with chimpanzees. So with that said, I am now putting an open offer in. I wish to rent a chimpanzee. For 8 hours, I will fly anywhere in the country to do this. I will bring a Matterport and I will have that chimpanzee shoot a functional Matterport tour. Are you guys with me on it?
Yes. Well, I can tell you what I will do. I will come with you and videotape the whole thing.
All right, cool. And if I die in the process, you guys have to do a memorial for me.
Wait, you know the whole story about the chimpanzee that took the picture? It was the copyright issue. You remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, the monkey took its own picture and they sued the photographer or something like that because they used it and they couldn't, the photographer was out of luck because the photo was taken by a monkey. But I have no question that a monkey could do the Matterport, but I don't know if he could put it somewhere without being told.
Could he push the scan button on the Matterport app? Yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, he can't physically. I mean, let's really get into this, okay? He couldn't physically, and he wouldn't know where to put it without being told.
Well, hold on, because I'll say this is the editing versus, you know, operator thing, right? I don't care where he puts it because my chimpanzee, and please, somebody out there, find me a chimp. I love monkeys. Our chimpanzee, Fred, right, is going to pick it up and put it down X number of times, right? And out of those, we will get some number of usable scans. So we can, in post, decide which scans we are going to and aren't going to use. And I recognize that there's alignment issues, right? I'm taking a lot of risks in this little wager, probably only made better by the fact that nobody's got a chimpanzee. But, you know, I'll say the other side of this is if a chimpanzee can't do it, a Roomba could do it, right? Like it's about coverage. The time you spend, Burko or Rich or me on site, right? Really provide the only value we're providing in creating that Matterport scan is controlling the number of scans you're getting, right?
Brian, I think our whole listenership has just left us right now. They're going, what the heck are we talking about? Okay.
All right. You know what?
Let's have that.
You guys said you wanted me on and you said you'll make my dreams come true. All I want to do is hang out with a chimp. Do we want to talk about the far future stuff though?
I don't even know. I don't even know what I want to talk about now.
Yeah. I'm like, what are we talking about?
I want a
about?
Banana.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But you got to put the diaper on the chimp because he might go
poo-poo in the living room, and that wouldn't go over well. I don't know. I just don't know about the whole monkey thing. I think it could touch the button, though. Okay.
Anyway, so, hopefully people are entertained by this. Whoever's still
let us not
on.
Digress. Right. We've already digressed.
All right. Well, so yeah, not even far future, but even, you know, 3-4 years, 5 years. I mean, we're in such a weird industry because we go through trends and phases and technology changes so quickly. And who really even, I mean, you know, we had Daniel Mudge on from Zillow. What was it, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? I don't know if you listened to that episode, Vince.
I haven't yet.
Okay. So what we were talking about was, if you remember about a year ago, year and a half ago, video was the hottest thing on Zillow. If you had video, they boosted you to the top of the rankings. If you were a Zillow certified photographer, they allowed you to upload the videos for your agents and all that stuff. And Zillow's over it already. Now they're all about floor plans and 360s. That's what their focus is on. They don't even, I don't think he said straight out, we don't care about video, but he said, we're focused on 360. And for 2021, we're focused on floor plans. That's what we're doing. They're coming out with their new floor plan tool. I haven't seen or used it yet, but that's their plan. So, you know, clearly just, that's one example, you know, the industry trends, things happen, sure. People get into things. So that being said, is the whole virtual tour 360 thing just a trend? I mean, is it going to be done with in 5 years? It's hard to say without knowing what new is going to come out, but.
Well, I don't think it's going to be done with for a couple of reasons, right? Like, okay. So one of the reasons why you start to see an affinity of, you know, 360, 3D tours, actually from a company like Zillow, right? They're listening to consumers, right? The reason you might see that over video is they solve two different problems. And one problem is more real right now, more of a problem than another, right? So video allows you to capture some amazing footage, right? Present lifestyle, tell a little bit of a story, right? Whereas the tours, what they let you do, let the consumer do, is explore and do a little bit of a deeper dive and control the narrative, right? Control the experience. Tour is very much a broadcast type of mentality. This is what I want to say, right? A tour, as opposed to a video, which is, this is what I want to say, is come on in and check it out, right? So, you know, do I believe that a great 360 tour or a great 3D tour is going to be the thing to attract eyeballs? No. But do I think that it's the thing that's going to give long tail to a listing in terms of engagement, right? Absolutely, right? My wife and I, if we're looking at homes, right? The photographs, right? Sometimes the visual media that comes through video, that might be what brings us in, right? And helps us fall in love with the listing enough to take that next step. The tour, the floor plan, right? Those are kind of hard data assets more so than anything else. So I think there will be value. In fact, I think that value becomes greater over the next couple of years for a couple of reasons, right? Obviously with COVID, right? And just coming out of COVID, once we get there, people are still trepidatious about bringing people into their home. But even outside of just that concern, with COVID, we went and kind of changed things. People are moving further away from city centers, right? If I'm looking at real estate now, I might not be just jumping in my car to your neighborhood, Brian, a couple of miles from my house. I might be willing to look in areas that are hours away, right? So I think there's a lot more value now and in the, you know, next 3 to 5 years of data that virtualizes or media that virtualizes the showing experience. Again, it's not going to be the thing that sells it. It's not going to get the eyeballs, but it's going to allow me to really consider a home for purchase that, you know, sort of in a more convenient way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think really the thing, after hearing all that you've said, the thing I feel about it almost equates to the whole Zoom thing now, where in the last year, we've all now accepted Zoom. The bar on, you can just, people are doing professional Zooms on TV, and they're just like, it's, you're having glitches, they're having all these things that to me were never acceptable before are now totally acceptable. I think that the 360 now is a new mentality, is a new way, And yes, it's because of COVID, absolutely because of COVID, but people were introduced to it and now they're accepting it because, you know, it's like the 360. Yeah, the difference is it's you can go anywhere you want to go and spend as much time or as little time, and you're the director on that. You're the operator. And video is not like that. But I just think that the world's changed now, and I don't think it's going back in some ways. And that leads me to believe that that the 360 is here for a while. And I'm pretty sure that the technology is going to get a lot better. And that'll be really great because the Theta Z1, it's, you know, it's got its issues. But I'm okay with it. I get over it. You know, I tell people they get over it. It's not the quality of a $4,000 Matterport, but it's just something that's here. You know, it's going to be with us.
But now here's where I think it gets really cool. Right. And here is the story that I believe gets us to 2030. Right. So I'm going far future. Fact, pocket technology, right? All of our cameras, the 3D cameras, the 360 cameras, right? Quality increases, you know, almost following Moore's law constantly, right? Mm-hmm. Fact, Brian Berkowitz's compositional prowess is still not something that you can buy, right? And fact, you know, the engineers, right? The gig economy does definitely run the risk of flooding the space with low-cost talent, right? So now I want you to think for a second about how those could converge in a likely scenario, right? It's very inexpensive to produce 3D or 360 content, right? It's very inexpensive to get an 18-year-old out of college to a home. It is very expensive for me to have Rich Baum shoot photographs of my home here in New York City, right? Rich, what are you going to charge me to do that? A whole lot, right? Unless I pay for the flights and, you know, I don't know what you're hand signaling me. I'm kind of intimidated.
$1 million.
$1 million, right?
Yeah. No, I don't. I mean,
let's cut to 10 years in the future, right? As the technology gets better, right? As the 3D tours get better, as the capture gets easier, I fully expect that, you know, we could get to a point where we might not need the human to even capture the 3D tour, right? Strap it to a Roomba, reprogram the damn thing, let it move it around. We'll figure out stairs in a minute, right? I do think that we could head into a time when the photographic experience itself gets virtualized. In other words, Rich Baum is going to be the photographer for my listing, but he might not ever enter my home because an engineer is going to come, capture a perfect 3D scan and all of the data that comes with it, right? And, you know, recognize I'm talking about an order of magnitude better than where we're at in terms of capture. But eventually, right, as Berko mentioned in the beginning, you can pull decent, you know, resolution photographs today from a 3D tour. The Matterport 3D tours, they have the fatal flaw of fixed position, right? In other words, if I'm not capturing my scan from where Brian might be standing for the perfect shot, he doesn't really have the opportunity to grab that perfect shot. But that's all stuff that gets solved with density of scan or depth of capture. I think we'll get to a point where photographers can do their job without ever entering a home.
Okay, we'll talk to you in 9 years.
No, it's interesting, but you know, things are getting that way. You know, one of my close buddies has a live stream business. So he, you know, does everything from Showtime boxing to a bunch of other things. And he has an entire control center in his basement. And, you know, if he's covering a boxing event in Dallas, Texas, for example, he'll send two camera operators out there and they use uplink packs and everything is sent to his control center in his basement. And he edits the whole thing live for the web from his basement. And the whole thing is like a 10 second delay. So.
And another scenario is I do a lot of running race photography, marathons, ultras, Spartans, things like that. And there was a company, believe it or not, this company, this guy in Malibu, he copyrighted the term event photography. And he extorted every single race company. if you could do a search on your website, he got it. He had big lawyers too. And I worked for many companies that they had to pay for this guy. But he came up with doing remote cameras, stationary cameras that were motion detected, you know, take the picture from motion. Mm-hmm. And that was the worry about that whole industry. And it was going to take out all the people that, like me. That didn't happen. So it's just, you know, another thing like that. I just don't see. I think it will get more and more automated, but I don't think it's the end for the photographer. I just really don't. Because as you said, you can't bottle what we bring. You can't
automate
what
vision.
We bring. You can't. And each location, each room is different. There are different challenges and different scenarios. So yeah, it'll go to a certain point, but there will always be work, I believe. But you know, I don't have to really worry about it because I'm done, boys.
I won't be around in 10
another
years.
Another couple of years.
I'll just be laughing at you from Malibu.
Ooh. Yeah, no, but, it's yeah.
So and look, that's why, you know, I see it. Look, every year there's always a new DIY technology that people are touting, right? Like I just saw something on Instagram with a tool that lets agents capture video and then the company itself will edit it together for you, right? And yeah, there's definitely utility, but it doesn't make the agent competent behind the camera, right? Just like, you know, the apps that'll do post-production or, you know, do HDR blending don't do any of that stuff. So I look, you know, I see the comments, right? Like of people who are jumping ship or investing in those technologies. And they're saying like adapt or die for sure, right? Adapt or die, but adapt or die, keep in mind why you were successful to begin with. So I think that if you want to future-proof yourself as a photographer, own your shit when it comes to composition, own your shit when it comes to vision. The media, the capture format itself will change on you, right? Hell, it might not even be your hands holding the device 10 years from now, but it's your brain creating the composition. And that's where our value is.
Yeah, well, that's why we're hired. I mean, most of us is why we're hired, especially, you know, if I'm shooting an architectural job or something like that, they're capturing because of what you bring. I mean, besides for your actual vision, there's also something to be said about reliability and all that Absolutely. Whole stuff, which we didn't even get into. But yeah, technology, it's always been changing for the last 100 years. And those who adapt to technology using their skills are the ones that are going to excel and stay with it and prosper.
So are we going to edit the monkeys out or... Did the monkeys make the cut, Brian?
I don't edit these anymore. Leaving it in, and you gotta follow up on this, Vince. You gotta do the monkey test.
Hey man, if you guys cheap out, I'll front the $3,000 chimp rental fee myself. That's fine.
Oh, I'm not paying.
Is that what a chimp costs to rent? Can you rent a monkey? Is that a thing?
So I Googled
party chimps. Money, you can do anything.
I Googled party chimps earlier, right? Like while we were talking about it. And I did find a company that will rent a chimp for $3,200 for a party appearance. So I'm hoping for a better deal from your listeners. And that company is only available in Mexico.
What does a chimp do for a party appearance?
It depends what you want them to do.
Yeah, they put on outfits, right? Like, dude, you put pants on a chimp and I'm happy. I'm like, look, it's wearing pants.
So if you call the chimp rental place and ask them if their chimp does Matterport, you need to record that conversation.
Challenge accepted.
Okay, great. Before we finish up, let me just give a little word from our final sponsor, PhotoUp. We all know that PhotoUp is the leader in real estate photo editing, but did you also know that they offer floor plans, virtual staging, property websites, photo delivery, virtual assistants, and more? Having all of your business services under one roof helps streamline your workflow so that you can spend more time shooting spaces and less time stuck behind your computer. No more wasted time uploading and downloading or logging into 10 different accounts. Run your entire business through one account so you can shoot more, manage less, and spend more time doing what you love. Visit photoup.net/shootingspaces or click the PhotoUp link in the Shooting Spaces website to receive a $100 discount on your first full month of PhotoUp services.
And I just wanted to show you my newest little toy.
Yeah, what do we got there?
How is that
color sensor?
The Nyx.
Yeah.
Yeah, you put it up to a color, and then you've got an app on your phone, and it just hooks up right away, and it will tell me the exact color. And if I want, it will give me the codes to the color. So now I'm not worried when I go to shoot a really, you know, a design, because Brian, believe it or not, I actually do shoot other things in real estate, but that's okay.
Oof.
Yeah. Anyway, I didn't want to go there, but I'm no Brian Berkowitz, but
I never said you didn't.
I'm just joking. Anyway, go over to this podcast. You'll hear that. No, but now I can just know exactly what color that my clients' walls are. So I'm really excited about this. Thank you, D. Zunker, for telling me about this thing. What was the best thing you got for Christmas, Vince?
That's a great question. Geez, we didn't do Christmas.
Anything. For
sushi. I got a whole lot of sushi for Christmas.
Did I tell you, Rich, Vince and I booked a helicopter flight together. We haven't done it.
Yeah.
For what was it, Black Friday? Was that the Black Friday?
Yeah, that deal? A crazy Black Friday sale, like 70% off.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little too cold here in New York for that now, for a doors off ride, but hopefully this spring.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I didn't buy very much this year. I just, you know, still a little worried about COVID and everything.
You know what's funny? I'll say I went overboard with the kids in my family for Christmas. Like, we normally, there's like a certain amount of money you spend on the nieces and nephews, right? This year, that shit was blown. Like, there were MacBooks and stuff. And my wife was trying to talk me down, and I got like really emotional. I was like, these kids won't have a Christmas this year. And like, I'm like bawling. I'm like, so I just threw like too much stuff at my nieces and nephew.
I want to be your.
That's it. You set a precedent now.
No, it's called going into debt.
What are you going to do next year?
I'm going to leave town. I'm going to just pretend to be like overseas building houses or something. I couldn't make it back, guys. I'm sorry. I think it's Christmas for the next 5 years. I don't know.
Okay.
I hear. Let me ask you one final question though, that I just thought of. Do you see the future being different for instance, guys like myself or Rich or bigger box companies like yourself? You know, where do you see the difference in where you are with give or take 1,000 photographers versus the solo preneur, if you want to call it that?
You know, I'll say it's a little bit of a strange answer I'm going to give, because I identify just sort of business style and the way I value photography more so with the independent photographers that I compete with. So if you're asking where do I see the big box companies, you know, differing from the independent photographers, right? I think independent photographers, the smart ones like you guys and like the folks who are listening to this podcast and learning, enriching, right? They're going to double down on their value. They're not going anywhere. They're not really changing much about their business model, except for maybe on the value add. I think big box, right? A lot of my competitors that are, you know, 100 photographers and more, the temptation to commoditize, the temptation to kind of leverage the gig economy is there, right? So I do think that as photographers, we will start competing with people who are aggressively marketing $90, $75 packages, stuff like that, because they're going with cheaper and cheaper talent because the barrier to entry is low. So I think you're going to see people shooting and hiring people, right? Sending the 18-year-old kids out with this, right? But I also see that as a cycle, right? They're going to do it. It's not,
they're not going to
scratch the itch of the agents. Yeah. And they'll end up doubling back into the regular business model, right? Tried and true. Or they'll go the way of the dodo.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, we see that here, and I guess you see a little bit of it from where we are, Vince, specifically, or geographically, I should say, is, you know, I see people popping up all the time in our area that are offering $75 shoots or $100 shoots. And, you know, I have a buddy out here who lives in, out here on Long Island, Tim, I don't know if you know Tim, Vince, Tim Hill, he's out in Merrick. Anyway, so whenever he sees one of these guys like post, you know, $75 shoots, he always, you know, texts me and shows it to me. And I said, don't worry about these people, because these people aren't going to last. They only, you know, there's only so long you can let, what is it? Maybe a year, 2 years you can last on doing $75 a shoot.
Right. Well, and here's the thing, right? So let's go with the $75 shoot guys, right? Let's go with the sort of Uber model people, right? Send a no-name photographer randomly to a home. And then let's look at how that juxtaposes with the apps that you can download. The agents who are willing to, you know, accept a $75 photographer because they care about nothing other than getting it done cheap and fast are the first agents that are jumping ship and using Box Brownie, Fire, whatever, right? They're using the apps. They're going to, they'll snuff each other out. They'll compete. They're going to be competing for the bottom. And then eventually the bottom is so far from the middle that the bottom is going to catch up and the bottom is going to demand that higher level of service. So I recognize it. I see it. And I feel like we've seen these cycles a couple of times. Doesn't keep me up at night.
No, I'm not worried about them either.
Okay. And if I'm wrong, I'm looking for a job in a year. So who knows? Maybe I could be the guy.
You'll have a monkey. You'll have a monkey. So it's okay. Take it on the road. There's a future for you, Vince.
Hey,
any monkey can.
Everybody's got to have a dream. And if it's my chimp shooting the 3D tours, dream realized. I love it.
Okay. Wow. What a great, great conversation. And I don't think anybody has to worry too much. But maybe in a couple of years, you know, we got other things to worry about. I don't know about you guys, but good. Well, thank you for coming on, Vince. I think we're running a little short on time, Brian.
We are.
Yeah. It's one of our longer podcasts.
Yep.
So it's crazy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, cool. So thanks for coming on, Vince.
My pleasure. Good seeing you, gentlemen. We'll see you all soon.
Rich. As always, we want to thank everyone for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to our email list so you can have new episode releases right in your inbox. What else?
Ask the guys.
Send us a question.
We'll get a top guy like Vince to answer it and give us a lot of great information.
I should have had Steve just submit a question for this.
Notice they said a top guy like Vince. After the monkey bit, I'm never going to be invited on again.
That's
quite the silence possible. On Brian's end.
But you'll find out. You'll find out. You know? He's out of here. Anyway, listen, everybody, thank you. And again, yeah, subscribe to Shooting Spaces podcast and check out Shooting Spaces. Oh, he's back. Okay. Shootingspaces.net. And that's where we have all our webinars and all our educational stuff and presets and stuff like that. And, without any more further ado.
We got some good webinars coming up. Stay tuned for some announcements.
Very exciting. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to those. And most of all, just go get your chimp. And does it have to be a chimp? What if an orangutan?
Orangutan?
I would be fine with that. I have read, though, that those can be more aggressive than chimps.
The chimps like to rip your face off. Anyway, would that be great? Oh, yeah, yeah. So I just want to say, get your chimp and go shoot some spaces, okay? With a chimp. Bye.
This has been Shooting Spaces. For more episodes, visit shootingspacespodcast.com and visit our education site at shootingspaces.net.